So I've never been in this room before. Is it okay for me to talk here?
It's okay.
I'm Buck McKinn from California, 25th District, Chairman of the House Armed Services Committee. Yesterday, the President gave us a proposal that cuts defense spending once again. It has $500 billion in new taxes and also cuts in domestic spending. It's irresponsible, unacceptable. It leaves our troops and our economy unready to face the challenges of the future, the threats of today. When I went to our steering committee to apply for this job, I explained to them the way I saw the job was to make sure that our troops, those who we send into harm's way, would have everything they needed to carry out their missions and return home safely. Everything in the way of resources, training, leadership. These things are very important. And I look at what's happening with these cuts that we've seen the last couple of years, and it's just, as I said, irresponsible that the commander-in-chief, his main job should be the thing that I look at as my job. Only he has in total. He should be looking out for soldiers, sailors, airmen, Marines that he sends into harm's way. He should not send them with anything less than the total that they need. And to be stepping up and continuing to cut, I've visited with our top leaders, and they have told me we've gone past cutting the fat, we've gone past cutting the meat, we're into the bone, and it is now the where they're going to have to cut will reduce the ability to train and equip these people properly. And that's going to start costing lives. And it's time for the President to face up to what the real responsibility is, what the real problem is, and that's to look at mandatory spending. Anyway, I'm happy to be here today. We have a proposal. I'm happy to join with Senator Inhofe, Senator McCain, Senator Ayotte. She's been a leader in this effort, and we're putting forth a bill that will give us some breathing room on the sequestration. It pays for all of the sequestration for the rest of this year, 7 months, gives us time to think about it, pays for it by having a reduction in the federal workforce over the next 10 years through attrition. So it's as painless as possible to protect our troops. With that, I'm happy to introduce Senator Inhofe, the ranking member of the Senate Armed Services Committee.
All right. Thank you, Buck. You and I, someone had told us back when we were serving together on the House Armed Services Committee that we'd be projecting losses of $487 billion over the period of the next 10 years. We would have said this couldn't have happened, but it did. So I've always enjoyed our close relationship, and it's going to continue now in a different form. Let me just mention a couple of things here. One is for 14 months, we've called on the President to recognize the impact of the sequestration. I think it's been intentionally held down so people don't realize how bad it could really be. And as long ago as 2 years ago, when Senator John Kyle and Senator Kelly Ayotte got together with the House committee and looked at what is coming up and what we're going to be able to do about it, that was kind of the beginning of all this. Unfortunately, when the President came out with a plan yesterday, and I saw the plan, I saw the 25% domestic, 25% defense, and then 50% the tax increases. That was a non-starter. I think he knew that. And just this morning, I think it was in the political, a press report just this morning said the President has apparently instructed his budget office to restrict the release of information on the devastating impacts of sequestration so not build momentum in Congress to fix it. And according to Politico, this has infuriated some of the members of the Appropriations Committees into maybe having hearings. Well, there's no way to delay sequester until the end of the year, but there is a way now to do it, and I applaud the House Committee and Kelly Ayotte for the work that they've done. And that's what this is all about today. This is a way of doing it without cutting defenses, without cutting domestic, and without raising taxes. If sequester is allowed to take place and the continued resolution is not fixed, the Department of Defense stands to waste billions of dollars. I like the way the Admiral Winnefield said it the other day, the Vice Chairman of the Joint Chiefs. He said, and this is a quote, he said, there could be, for the first time in his career, his long career, instances where we may be asked to respond to a crisis, we will have to say we cannot do it. Well, I would like to say that I'm really pleased with the committee that we have, the minority there in the Senate. We have a lot of talent there. We're going to use all that talent. We have people that are heading up our six committees as Senators Sessions, McCain, Graham, Ayotte, Wicker, Fisher, and others on the committee. So it's going to be my strategy, and has been in the past, to use this talent to make sure that they are the ones who are going to be driving this, and it's certainly not going to be a one-man show. With that, clearly, Senator Ayotte's the one who's been driving this so far, and with that, I'd like to have her come forth with the bill that will be the Ayotte bill in the Senate, and explain what we're going to be doing with that. Kelly?
Thank you, Senator Inhofe. I want to thank Chairman McCann for his leadership, and we know how passionate you've been on this, Buck. We appreciate it. And, of course, my colleagues, Senator McCain and Graham, we traveled around the country on this issue a year ago and still feel as passionate about it, about the impact on our national security by allowing sequestration to go into effect. And I also want to thank my colleagues, certainly from the House, Representative Turner, Representative Thornberry, for being here. Here's where we are. We know, based even from seeing our Secretary of Defense and from the Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff this weekend on the Sunday shows, what the impact of sequestration is going to be to our national defense. And I guess I would ask everyone here, do we believe it's safer around the world right now, with Iran marching toward nuclear weapons capability, with the assault and all of the 60,000 people who have been murdered in Syria, with the weapons that we have seen coming from the Gaddafi regime that have ended up with the incident in Algeria? We can go on and on about the challenges we face, and let's not forget we are still at war with our troops that we recently visited in Afghanistan. So our national security challenges remain great, and we have already reduced defense spending $487 billion. And so it's time for the Commander-in-Chief, his foremost responsibility and ours to keep the American people safe, that we stop this sequestration. And frankly, our defense should not be used as a bargaining chip because of other policy aspirations that people want to accomplish. And so we've introduced this bill that is similar to the one that we introduced last year that Chairman McCann introduced on the House that addresses sequestration for defense and non-defense through the end of the fiscal year in September without raising taxes, essentially taking the president's own fiscal commission proposal from the Simpson-Bowles on workforce attrition to come up with savings. And also we've added on a congressional pay freeze as well to pay for this. So yesterday we heard what the president had to say. His proposal is unacceptable. It's insufficient. I agree with Chairman McCann on this. You know, every discussion we've heard from this president seems to begin and end with tax increases, despite the fact that we've already given $600 billion in additional revenue. Just for a few months' fix, he also wants more on that and more cuts to our defense, even though his own Secretary of Defense has said, if we don't address this sequestration, we'll be shooting ourselves in the head, we'll be hollowing out our military, we'll be substantially reducing our naval fleet, our armed forces at a dangerous time in the world. So I hope that my colleagues across both sides of the aisle will join in this common sense effort. It gives us the opportunity to work out the bigger picture fiscal issues. Now that the Senate Democrats have said they were willing to do a budget, I also serve on the budget committee. But this bill makes sense. I hope it is passed quickly, And I also would share with what Senator Inhofe said. Let's put where we are now. We had the President of the United States who said during the campaign, this is not going to happen, when he talked about sequestration. Well, here we are. His administration stopped WARN Act notices from going forward, rewrote the law on that so people wouldn't be warned on the impact on it, and now he wants to use it to increase more taxes when we have a common sense proposal right here from his own fiscal commission we could pass to get us through September and really make sense so we don't undermine our national security for generations, as our Secretary of Defense has said. So I thank my colleagues for being here. It's an honor to be here with all of them. And it's my honor to introduce Senator John McCain, who needs no introduction.
But he always appreciates one. I'd just like to very briefly say I thank Senator Inhofe for his leadership on this issue, and Kelly Ayotte and Buck McKeown and our colleagues from the House who are joining us. I think that Senator Ayotte pointed out the devastating effects of sequestration. If it's implemented, it'll cut every ship, aircraft, tank, truck program, research and development across the board. Secretary of Defense Panetta, a man that I admire greatly, called sequestration a meat axe approach. I think it's important to note that according to one economic analysis, the cost would cause the loss of 350,000 full-time direct jobs and 650,000 indirect job losses. That's a lot of jobs, my friends, in these very difficult times. Secretary Panetta, again, I quote, the simple fact is that this fiscal uncertainty has become a very serious threat to our national security. Our chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff and our military leaders are saying the same thing. In the late 1970s, after the Vietnam War, the Chief of Staff of the Army, General Shai Meyer, testified before Congress that we had a, quote, hollow army, which then caused the attention of the American people and one of the reasons why Ronald Reagan was elected to be President of the United States, because of our rapid decline in national defense that took place previously. We've seen this movie before, and we live in a more dangerous world than I can remember since the end of the Cold War. This is the wrong time for sequestration to take place, and we should be able to sit down together and resolve this without, again, asking the American people to have their taxes increased. I thank you, and next is the lawyer from South Carolina, Senator Graham.
We're going to spend $47 billion over the next $10 trillion, 46 or 47 trillion, over the next decade. The question is, can we reduce spending by $1.2 trillion without raising taxes and destroying the Defense Department? The answer is yes, if we want to. Now, the President has a proposal. I don't think it's sound, but let's vote on it. To Harry Reid, the House has tried to fix sequestration in the past. We've done nothing in the Senate. It's one thing to be the world's most deliberative body. It's another thing to just to be absent. We've been the most absent body in the history of modern politics. We're not doing anything in the Senate. So, Harry, please take the President's proposal or come up with one of your own. Put it on the floor and let's start voting. If you don't like what we're doing, come up with your own. Now, as John would say, a little straight talk. We have our fingerprints as Republicans on this proposal, on this sequestration idea. It was the President's idea, according to Bob Woodward's book. But we, as the Republican Party, agreed to it. We got in this mess together, and we're going to have to get out together. Mr. President, help lead us. And unlike anyone else on this stage, you are the Commander-in-Chief. Do you really want your legacy to be at a time of great conflict? You led the American Congress into a deal that would destroy the military at the time we need it the most. You want to pivot to Asia? How do you do that with 232 ships? What about Iran acquiring the nuclear capability? If you exempt personnel from sequestration, what the president has chosen to do, how do you modernize the F-16 and F-18? How do you go deep into Iran without the F-22 and the F-35 coming into being? Our enemies would love this to happen. I'm sure Iran is very supportive of sequestration. I'm sure al-Qaeda training camps all over the world would be pleased with the fact that sequestration would gut the CIA and the intelligence platforms we have to follow them around. It's just not about tanks and planes, the smallest Air Force since in the history of the country, the smallest Navy since 1915, the smallest Army since 1940. It's about the CIA. It's about the intelligence gathering capabilities of this country. It's also about the Department of Education. It's about non-defense matters. So I'm hopeful that we can finally start voting in the Senate rather than just complaining about what the House does. To the president, we bear responsibility as Republicans for allowing this to happen. Lead us to a better solution. If you do not, Mr. President, you will go down in history, in my view, as one of the most irresponsible commanders-in-chief in the history of the country, because what you will have done, Mr. President, is that you would have allowed the finest military in the history of the world to deteriorate at a time when we need it the most. Let's not let that happen.
I'm Mac Thornberry from Texas. Let me just add or emphasize three quick points. One is, reducing civilians by attrition is a good idea, even at DOD. And I just remind you that yesterday, the recently departed Undersecretary for Policy, Michelle Flournoy, argued in the Washington Post that we needed to reduce civilians at DOD as a way of improving efficiency within the Pentagon. I'd say that applies to all the other agencies as well. Secondly, most of the concern about sequestration is focused on readiness and training, which is absolutely true. If you talk to the lawyers that work at defense contractors, they think they're going to have a field day. We've even had testimony last year in the House Armed Services Committee that the legal hassles emanating from sequestration may eat up a lot of the savings. But beyond that, as Senator Ayotte and Lindsay referenced, there's a lot of dangerous places in the world. And what we do is try to develop capability to deal with the unknowable contingencies of what could happen at a place like Syria or Iran or North Korea. With less money, you can prepare for fewer contingencies. And so the point is, it's not just readiness, it's not just lawyers' pockets this feeds. This also hurts us in the real world today. Final point is, there's lots of options to deal with this. As was mentioned, the House passed bills twice last year to substitute sequestration savings for other more targeted savings so that you save the same amount of money, you're still fiscally responsible, but you don't gut defense and the domestic programs as well. Today, we have another proposal that's out there on the table. I suspect there may be another one or two in the next few days. Anybody who has been around Washington the past 2 months knows that if any one of us comes and says the answer to this is taxes, they hadn't been living in the real world after what we've all just been through for the last 2 months. It's time to be more serious about this, to get off the campaign trail and to be a commander-in-chief. My colleague Mike Turner from Ohio.
Thank you, Mac. Our commander-in-chief is committing malpractice on the Department of Defense. The president has gambled with our national security with sequestration, and it is a losing bet. To give some perspective, the defense budget is just slightly less than 18% of all of our spending, but yet sequestration would have 50% of the cuts falling on defense spending. So 50% of the cuts fall on less than 18% of our overall budget. Now, the president has now made a proposal that includes taxes, but also includes that 50% of the sequestration cuts would fall on defense. When the president was campaigning, he was saying that the sequester cuts would not happen. He didn't say half of the sequestration cuts would not happen. He said sequestration would not happen. So today he makes a proposal that would allow half of the cuts to go into place, and half of it, he claims, would be offset by taxes. This has been a problem that has been around for over a year, and in this late hour, the president comes forward with a proposal for taxes to offset half of it, taxes that he knows would not be in our coffers in time to offset the overall expenses that are needed in order to address the issue of sequestration. Now, the president's proposal, in addition to raising taxes and putting greater burden on our economy, is only half of a solution, since it allows 50% of the cuts to go into place. The bill that we're here for today, the McKeon-Ayotte bill, is not half a solution, it's a whole solution. And it looks overall not at just the less than 18% of the budget of the Department of Defense, but across the entire budget, as we should responsibly do, for cuts that would offset these important cuts that we need to avoid. In addition, as we look overall to the fact that the world is not getting, is not becoming a safer place, these cuts are irresponsible. So this bill allows us to responsibly restore the spending, to make certain our national security is protected, and that we in turn look further into our budget for ways that we can responsibly reduce overall spending. Thank you.
Questions?
Yes, Senator, Chairman McKeon, just a bit ago we had talked to you this morning about some of the concerns that even some rank-and-file Republicans were having about the sequester, and some of them were willing to endure the sequester as it pertains to defense and intelligence just to get cuts. What has evoked some of that talk? Are they just willing to get that because that's the only way to get to cuts, and they're willing to stomach some of the defense? And how do you argue off some of your fellow Republicans?
We're going to have a hearing next week from the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, the vice chairman, all of the four-star, all of the Joint Chiefs. I think what they will tell us at that hearing is we are really in dire straits. I mean, they have said things. We've held hearings on this. We've had speeches, a lot of talk, and there was a waiting for the grand scheme that was going to fix everything. And nobody was for a short-term solution. Well, the president yesterday opted for a short-term solution. We just don't think it's a viable solution. We think it's not one that can pass. We think the solution we're presenting here today is viable, and it will fix the much of the problem that the chiefs are having to deal with. As has already been said, we've already cut $487 billion out of defense. The $500 billion in addition of sequestration and the way it's done, where everything is just cut evenly with no thought, no planning, no strategy, is disastrous. And the commander-in-chief ought to step up and face the fact that he is the commander-in-chief. We've heard he won the election. Fine. Show it. Provide some real leadership. This quest to continually to raise taxes is not going anywhere. We've already done that. Now we're asking for real leadership, for a real solution.
But are some of your Republican colleagues wrong-headed about this when they're the ones who are willing to endure even these defense cuts?
You know, there's plenty of things to fight about. I think some of the differences I have with some of my Republican friends is we're not that far apart. We all want to fix the deficit problem. There's no question. But I think when they have a chance to look at this bill and understand what we're really facing, I don't think we're going to have a problem there.
Sir, how is this different from the proposal that went nowhere a year ago?
Did we have the pay freeze?
It's a year later.
It's different. Obviously, we had two different versions. The House, as I understood it, had this had the attrition of the workforce that's in this component. In the Senate last time, we had a combination of instead of for every three positions that came over open, only filling one, we had two, and a combination of a overall pay freeze across the federal government for over a year. This is different. It combines both, so we're on the same page. And we have the House proposal on the attrition, and we've also added a congressional pay freeze on it instead of the entire civilian workforce.
What makes you think that this time around that Senate Majority Leader or Speaker Boehner is going to take up this proposal?
Well, I certainly would defer to others here and the chairman, but there's a real urgency here. I mean, one of the reasons that the president and the administration during this campaign, the presidential campaign, didn't want the actual WARN Act, which is the law that requires you to notify workers that they may be laid off, to go into effect. And essentially the Department of Labor said that defense employers didn't have to comply with that law, is because they knew that once people understood the real implications of sequestration, that there was going to be a public outcry. Well, here we are. And so I think we're in a different place. People understand that there are grave implications to this, and so I would hope that the leadership would hear from that and bring this forward as a very legitimate proposal that addresses this issue at least through the end of this fiscal year.
For the senators on armed services, Senator Moss, maybe you want to get to this. Do you feel comfortable tomorrow that you will have a vote on former Senator Abel, or do you want to delay it?
I'll let Jim.
I don't know. I don't know whether we're going to have one. I want to say this, though, the question before last, when you're talking about how does this differ from last year. Last year, things weren't desperate. They are desperate this year. Last year, we weren't talking about $487 billion. Last year, we weren't talking about the president's own Secretary of Defense saying that this is devastating. It's disarming America. That's a major difference between what happened last year. And I think people are aware of it. This president has done everything he can to hide from the people the devastating effects of sequestration and the CR, I might add. But as far as the hearing is concerned tomorrow, there's information that I know that people are seeking right now, and I've talked to Chairman Levin, and we haven't decided yet exactly what we're going to be doing at that hearing. Well, providing more flexibility is something that would be a last-ditch effort. The main thing is to kill this thing. This bill right here now that they have, the McKeon-Ayotte bill, is one that will solve the problem. My introduction of that was merely to get the chiefs of the services to sit down and analyze just how devastating this is going to be and what we could do with the same bottom line and make adjustments to make it less devastating than it's going to be. That's the difference.
Are you still planning to introduce that bill?
Well, we've already talked to the chiefs. They are working right now, and I think that's accomplished its purpose.
The Democratic leadership and the president have said that there has to be a component. It can be tax loopholes. It has to be some component. You're saying that the situation is desperate. Is it desperate enough that you will at least sit down?
It's not desperate enough that you can start raising taxes when you can do it without raising taxes. That's why we're here today.
But how can you get a bipartisan solution if you don't at least entertain what they're demanding? They run the White House. They run the Senate right now.
Well, you know, that's right. They do run the White House, but that's not the people of America. The vast majority of the people of America say our problem is not that we're not taxed enough. It's that we're taxed too much and we're spending too much.
Senator Graham,
excuse me.
If we had votes in this place, we might could find common ground. How about this as an idea? Go to the president and ask him, during the campaign, you promised this would not happen. You didn't tell us, as you were saying, that if I get elected president, I'm going to reduce sequestration in half because it's a big deal in Virginia. It's a big deal in other states. So here we are after the election. You didn't tell us I'm going to raise taxes three times. $1.2 trillion in tax increases for Obamacare, $600 billion in tax increases to avoid the fiscal cliff, and now you want to raise taxes yet again. How about the idea of trying to find some spending cuts that do not destroy the military when you got $46 trillion to choose from over the next decade? But this is a debate we need to have. No more backroom deals. Put the president's proposal on the Senate floor and see how many Senate Democrats feel comfortable raising taxes yet again. And to my Republican colleagues, after this hearing that Buck's going to have, if you feel comfortable with cutting the government this way, then you've lost your way as much as the president. What happened to the party of Ronald Reagan, who said the number one goal of the federal government and the federal government's responsibility above all others is to fund the Department of Defense? What happened to that party? Well, I intend to get that party back. I intend to fight for the party of Ronald Reagan. And we're going to explain to Republicans and Democrats alike what happens if you let sequestration go into effect. And we're going to challenge our Republican and Senate, Republican and Democratic colleagues not to raise taxes every time you have a problem, because there's a better way. Economic growth is down. Unemployment is up. Let's start cutting spending.
John, did you have something, Linda?
No, just very briefly. Bring a bill to the floor, then. The House has acted twice. The House has already acted twice to avoid sequestration. Tell the majority leader, bring the president's proposal to the floor. Let's vote and amend, go to conference, and resolve it. So far, we've seen no indication that the majority leader of the Senate would bring this to the floor of the Senate. Let's go to work for a change. Sure we have. Sure we have. They want to solve the problem. And many of them I've talked to say, yeah, let's go to the floor, debate, and demand. That's what we're supposed to do. They may not agree with this proposal, but a lot of the Democrats I've talked to are aware of how devastating the impact of the sequestration. The path we're on right now is that Congress will not act in the next 30 days.
And we'll take one more. We've got to wrap this up. The offset number is $85 billion. $85 billion through September. Yes, from the combination of congressional pay freeze, which is a smaller amount, but the larger is through the president's own fiscal commission provision. I think we got to wrap this up, but thank you.
Can I just say one
more thing about the question about what's changed? Up until December, the Joint Chiefs were commanded to not plan for sequestration. Now they have had time to look at it, and we're going to hear next week some very specific things that they told me about in the last couple of days, that when people hear those things, that when the call comes, they may not be able to respond to emergencies. And when the American people find that out, there's going to be some real change. Thank you.
Thank you.